Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. Happy Friday, it's July 31st. I'm Sarith Hawk. California has a diverse geography, and a changing climate is reshaping a lot of it.
We know it's going to be hotter, we know there's going to be less water availability, and so we may not be able to plant the same plants that were there before because the river is just not as big as the river was before.
And conservation groups say another challenge they're facing is invasive plant species. What's being done to reclaim the land? That story coming up in just a moment, but first, these news headlines. The Central California Blood Center is asking for immediate donations to alleviate a national blood supply shortage. The American Red Cross says donations have fallen to a four-year low. This is only the second time that the organization has declared a national blood supply crisis. As a result, the Red Cross is limiting the distribution of type O blood to hospitals during this nationwide shortage. Agencies are calling on B-negative and O-negative blood types to donate at their local blood centers. We're just over a week away from a deadline to file a transportation measure for the November ballot. Dozens of community members rallied on Thursday to call on Fresno County supervisors to make the call in time. KVPR's Israel Cardona Hernandez reports.
Fresno County!
Residents rallied in Clovis on Thursday for better roads and safe streets. That's also the name of the proposal they hoped would make it to the November ballot. It would replace a half-cent tax known as Measure C. It has funded roads and transit in Fresno County for decades. The measure is set to expire next summer, so residents mobilized to replace it. But the Fresno County Board of Supervisors had questions about the plan during a meeting earlier this month. Here is Supervisor Buddy Mendez.
Now, it was written in prejudice against the county.
As the county reviews it further, it could miss a critical deadline. But residents are not stopping their effort. 18-year-old Ivan Juarez Pablo got up at 5:30 in the morning to stand at a street corner in Clovis. He supports the tax measure.
Right now, hopefully this message that we're sending opens up some people's eyes and like, hey, like maybe this is bigger than it is.
Marinar de Soto, a community organizer from Fresno, said the measure has community support.
This isn't just about public infrastructure, it's also about community safety and public safety.
If the measure does not head to voters this November, it would still appear on the March 2028 ballot. For KVPR News, I'm Israel Cardona Hernandez.
Small farms in California may not be able to withstand groundwater regulations under a landmark law. A new report warns that small-scale farms don't have the resources to comply with the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, or SGMA. The study was conducted by UC researchers and Community Alliance with Family Farmers Nonprofit. Researchers say small farmers need assistance in adapting to groundwater regulations while maintaining their ability to grow food. SGMA sought to put a limit on how much groundwater is used in the state. The University of California is welcoming the largest number of in-state students to its campuses this fall. The UC put out new figures this week that show just over 102,000 first-time students from California will be enrolled into its universities. That includes nearly 30,000 students from community colleges. UC Merced is among the top five universities with the highest enrollment of first-time students, along with UC Davis, Riverside, Santa Barbara, and Santa Cruz.
KVPR's $10,000 drawing is underway. Do your part to support KVPR by purchasing your $100 ticket for a chance to win the grand prize of $10,000. Only 800 tickets will be sold. Runner-up prizes include a two-night stay in Pismo Beach at the Sandcastle Hotel and $250 to dine at restaurants in your community. Purchase tickets at kvpr.org/10k.
And now to our main story. before any of the cities, cars, and highways that came to dominate California's landscape, the vast open land was home to many animals, plants, and natural ecosystems. Today, much of the geography has been engineered for human development, and with it, a host of non-native species and insects. But just outside Fresno, there's an effort to bring the native ecosystem into balance with the new. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado went out to get a look at a different kind of engineering taking place.
I'm walking with a group of people through a field of dry grass that goes on for several acres. It's the kind that leaves those annoying foxtails sticking to your shoes and pants. This type of grass is everywhere in this area called Jensen River Ranch. But it's not supposed to be here, says Rebecca Ozerant. She's a rangeland manager.
Although they are the dominant species here, it's because they've taken over from native species.
In fact, there are many invasive plants here. Jensen River Ranch sits just below Woodward Park, north of Fresno. Ozerant points out another one.
It's hard to see at a distance, but there are a lot of little yellow flowers. Like any good thistle, it's actually a good pollinator plant.
She's talking about yellow star thistle plants. Honeybees like them, but honeybees, just like the star thistle, are also not native to the area. The yellow star thistle is also very dangerous for horses when they eat them.
Yeah, it actually gives them a neurological disorder that makes them seek it out more and more until they can no longer chew and swallow, and it can be fatal.
Ozerant has been working with the Sierra Resource Conservation District on a plan to get rid of these harmful plants. It's part of an effort to improve biodiversity in the area, but they aren't doing this work alone. Goats are out here too, along with hundreds of sheep. They're eating away invasive plants and lowering dry grass that can turn into wildfire fuel. Unlike horses, goats and sheep are resistant to the toxic properties of the non-native plants. After this, conservation groups will move in to plant native trees and shrubs that do belong here. Millions of acres in California are covered with non-native species. That includes grasses, insects, and some animals. They harm the soil and reduce available foods. But this ecosystem disruption is not new. Researchers estimate it's been happening since at least the 1700s. Initially through European settlement, eventually it became a reality of today's global trade. And this is a costly problem for the state. We're talking billions of dollars. Conservation groups say there is still a chance to fight back.
Our Native American communities in this area used to use them for different medicinal purposes.
That's Tanner Michelson, a manager with the Conservation District. He's standing near a shady tree where he rips out elderberries to help feed one of the hungry goats. These berries are native to this area, and more of them will be planted soon. They're one of the plants that thrive along the San Joaquin River, which is nearby. It's the second longest river in California, but also one of the most endangered. Which explains why the land here is also in need of restoration. But Michelson says too many changes in the climate means things won't go back exactly to how they were.
We know it's going to be hotter. We know there's going to be less water availability. And so we may not be able to plant the same plants that were there before because the river is just not as big as the river was before. And there's not as much water coming through the river. And so we can't support the same riparian habitat that was before because we just those systems and infrastructure doesn't exist anymore.
In the past, elk and even deer used to graze on this land. Today, sheep and goats are doing their part. And when they're done, the land will look just a tiny bit like it did hundreds of years ago. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
And what a cool story. Crescencio joins me now to chew on this story a little bit more. Hey, Cres.
Hey, Sarith. How's it going?
Good. I love this story. You know, we talked about these invasive species being a real costly problem in the state. How costly are we talking about, and why is it such a huge problem?
Yeah, so, you know, based on estimates that I have seen floating around, this is a figure that is in the billions. For example, the UC Riverside Center for Invasive Species Research has some data out there that invasive species are costing California up to $6 billion a year. On the flip side, conservation groups also get a lot of money to do the work to fight this problem. But the cost figure is a projected figure from as early as a decade ago, based on a real study that was done in 1995 that looked into this issue. So I say in my piece that this is not a new problem. It's probably only gotten worse to some degree, because this affects crops and waterways and general infrastructure. And, you know, this is a big problem in part because of the way humans move today. You know, California is a major tourist destination for people all over the world. It has many industries and different types of sensitive habitats. So it's very prone to have this problem of invasive species on its hands. And, you know, the key thing here lies in the nature of invasive species, whether it's a plant or an animal or a bug. Conservation groups say a species is invasive because it can quickly overtake an area if it's not taken care of, and it can completely displace a native habitat. They just have this ability to reproduce very quickly.
Right. We're seeing that with the golden mussels happening right now.
Exactly.
So based on the research you did for this story, I'd like to hear about some other examples of invasive species around the state that we might not know about. We just mentioned golden mussels.
Exactly. So the golden mussels is a great example, because that is an invasive species that is hitting the state really hard right now. There is a lot of money being poured in, and also legislation that's even being drafted to address the problem. It's considered an emergency officially down in Kern County and other places because of the way that these golden mussels damage waterways. Just imagine, if we need the rivers to grow crops and feed people, anything that affects those rivers is a problem. And another example that we have heard of is the semi-aquatic rodents known as nutria. They look like mini capybaras, if you've seen them. They were absent for a long time from California, but are now back since about a decade ago. And they're mostly found along the San Joaquin-Sacramento Delta. And what they do is, you know, they destroy levees and irrigation canals, and they just wreak havoc on wetland restoration projects, just like the one where these goats are grazing. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, there are also a lot of beetles that we've heard of. A lot of beetles are invasive. One of them is known as the gold-spotted oak borer. Those kinds of beetles, they disrupt the ecosystem by messing with trees. Essentially, they eat them from the inside and just diminish trees around our area.
So getting back to this restoration project along the San Joaquin River, what happens after the goats and the sheep are done with their quote-unquote assignments at Jensen River Ranch? What's next?
Yeah, and it is an assignment. These sheep and goats are busy working. The sheep and the goats are helping with phase one of a larger project. Once they're done, conservation groups are going to move in and plant native trees and shrubs in this area, as I mentioned in the piece. And it's all along this river because it's known as a riparian habitat, which is essentially the land that sits next to waterways. And it's going to be plants that will feed off of the land rather than plants that can damage the land. Mm. I was out there recently, and a large part of the area of where this invasive grass has already been lowered, and that's the way it's going to look for about 200 acres. And I understand that this is just one of the restoration projects that are planned by the Sierra Resource Conservation District, and their partner is the San Joaquin River Conservancy. And also, as far as what's next, you know, one of the goals of projects like this is to really get people acquainted with nature in ways that they otherwise wouldn't be. So the public will have an opportunity to be part of the next phase. Starting in September, on the first Saturday of each month, the public will be able to go out and help plant native vegetation and just, you know, learn about conservation efforts. And in that way, just like the sheep and the goats, people are also going to be part of restoring an ecosystem.
KVPR News Director Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, always great to have you in the studio.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, Jonathan Linden, and KVPR. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.